when the next day Jesus wanted to leave for Galilee. And he found Philip, and he said to them, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Simon. So Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found that Jesus, the son of Joseph of Nazareth, is the one concerning whom Moses wrote in the law and the prophets." All right? So I had actually put the emphasis on the wrong word here. Let me read this again. Right? It says, okay, "We have found that Jesus, the son of Joseph of Nazareth, is the one concerning whom Moses wrote in the law and the prophets." All right? So they knew Jesus, and they've heard of Jesus, and maybe even were childhood friends of Jesus or whatever. But here Philip is saying, we have found that Jesus is the Messiah. And so Nathanael says to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And that's actually a quote from Scripture saying that, you know, the lowest of the low of society is probably a Nazarene. Okay, I mean, that's just how they were. They had no respect for anybody out of Nazareth. And so he's actually slamming Jesus before he ever gets a chance to really get to know Jesus. Oh, he's from Nazareth? You know, that's like, we have an area in Katy called the Cuts. And it's really the bad area of town. The police don't like going down there at night, okay? And that's like, I say, oh, but they're from the Cuts. You know, they live in the Cuts. They're from the Cuts. Nothing good comes out of the Cuts. Bunch of drug smugglers and whatever. That's what goes on the truck. That's what they were saying about Jesus because he lived in Nazareth. And Philip said to him, "Well, come on and see." He's not gonna discuss theology with them or anything. Just, "Well, come on and see." So Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." So he's giving Nathanael a comment. Now listen how snotty Nathanael is to Jesus. Listen to this. Nathanael said to them, from whence do you know me? How do you think you know me? You think you know me? Okay? He's just saying that I don't have any guile. You're just talking out of your face. You're not making any sense. You think you know me? Then Jesus said to him, "Even before Philip called you, while you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Uh-oh. Wait a second. Under the fig tree? This is a couple of kilometers away. How did Jesus know that Philip found Nathanael while Nathanael was sitting under the fig tree? All right. And Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." All right, I'm taking what has been told me now by Philip, and yes, I do believe that you are the one. And then so Jesus kind of slaps him down a little bit. And Jesus said, "Do you believe because I saw you under a fig tree? Is that what your faith is based on? A magic trick? That I said I saw you under the fig tree?" It wasn't a magic trick, it was a miracle. But, you know, Jesus is really kind of giving him a rough time about it. Then he says, "You shall see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to all of you that from now on you will see the heavens open, the angels of God ascending and descending to the Son of Man." All right? And we know that happened a little while later, when the disciples saw Jesus in glorification, glorified and being ministered to by Moses and Elijah, okay, and so that was, you know, you think you're seeing something now, just this little parlor. Yeah, Jesus didn't call it a parlor trick because the divine is not to be abused. But he says, just because I said I saw you under the fig tree. Boy, oh boy, do you ever have a life of excitement coming your way. And that's the same thing that he says to us. Don't get caught up with all this little stuff about, well, you know, I did some things in my youth that wasn't pleasing to God, and I don't see how God could ever use me. Well, then you don't realize how much God loves you. And you don't understand how complete the blood of Jesus is in washing away all of your sins. It's not just a little bit, but the forgiveness of our sins. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How much is there? There's enough for everybody. There is enough love of God. There is enough power of God for everybody. So don't get caught up in, well, I did this or I did that. Or one I hear a lot, as a matter of fact, I use it a lot. And I hear it from some of you. Well, when I was younger. When I was younger, I used to be able to do this. When I was younger, I did this. When I was younger, Well, we're not younger. All right? But the bottom line is it wasn't us anyhow. It was the power of God through us. Amen? And so just maybe when the Bible tells us, in my weakness, Paul says, in my weakness, I am made strong. That just maybe when we get to the point in our lives where we understand how inefficient, how incapable our physical bodies are of doing things that are pleasing to God, that it's only through His Holy Spirit, the guidance of His Holy Spirit, that we do things that are pleasing to God, that maybe this is the best time of life for a Christian. Amen? All right? I mean, we used to have an excuse, well, I'm too busy. I just got the kids to bed. I don't feel like praying much. Or I'm too busy doing that, or I'm too busy doing this, or whatever. We've got a business meeting. We've got this. We've got that. You know, when we're growing up, guys and ladies, when we're climbing the old corporate ladder and all that stuff, it's interesting how, our time is just consumed by everything except God. All right? And now, in this stage of our life, there goes all of our excuses. Now we can pray because we have time to pray. Now we can show compassion because we have time to show compassion. Now we can be the arms of Christ to embrace those that are going through difficult times. And so really this is the best time in our life. I told you a couple weeks ago I went to the hardware store and I was walking in. And there was this young 30-something punk said, "Hey, old-timer. Old-timer, come over here and let me. You know, I really did. I said, "Are you talking to me?" Old-timers. Oh, that's right. I am an old-timer. Oh, okay. All right. And so I just kind of mumbled under my breath as I went past him and went into the store. Yeah, that's what we are. We're getting older, but in our weakness, just maybe, God is made strong. In our weakness, the power of God is more manifest. I can't make it happen. I used to tell Terry, I said, I really have a rough time discerning the will of God. Because I have the energy, the knowledge, the whatever else, I will make something happen. Okay? And, yeah, I could. I could make, some things happen. Not all, but I could make things happen. And so, was this of God or was this of your own energy? Your own want to do this? And I would have to say, well, I hope it was from God. Now, I can generally say, oh, this is from God, all right, because I don't have the health and I don't have the strength that I used to. Devil, you're not going to put anything on me, all right. I'm not, my body isn't the way that it was 20, even 10 years ago, if we're all honest, when the church first started. We have pictures of our church when it first started, and I'm looking at those pictures and I'm saying, who are those people in that? Those are all young people in that picture. All right? And there's Mama Jo that's there, and Miss Hazel is there, and you and your mama was there, and you know, we got all this stuff. And look at all these people, you know, and that was just 10 years ago, 12 years ago, or whatever. But now is a good time for us to be alive. Don't get caught up with things that the devil uses to distract, and he's great. He's been working on his arsenal of temptation and excuses for thousands and thousands of years. And he might try to come against you and say, ah, you failed before when you tried this. Ah, you failed this. You didn't do this right, or you really messed this up, or whatever the case may be. And I would simply say, yeah, but today is a new day. And only what has been done for Jesus is going to last. As we read about, let me finish with this, because I thought this was pretty interesting. Okay. Where's that? I wrote some of them. If I heard about them, no, that's not it. Okay. I cannot find it now. That's because I want to find it. Okay, so it's obviously, no, that's not it. Here we go, over in 1 Corinthians. All right, so it says, food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. That there is a time coming on this earth when everything is going to be destroyed. As a matter of fact, the picture that the Bible says is kind of rolled up like a scroll. Remember those old shades that we had in our windows, and you'd pull it down and you think that it's caught, okay, so we can let go, and what happens is up there, you know, and then the whole spring has come unwound, so you got to pull the thing down and you've got to tension up the spring again, you know, so that you can make the whole thing work, and it just rolls up and it's gone. And the Bible says that's what's going to happen to the heavens and the earth. You're just going to roll up and they're gone. And only what's done for Jesus is going to last. Amen? And so, this is the best time of our lives. Amen? I know I've gone over. I just wanted to let you know. I want to say it again. This is the best time of our lives. It is. We might be distracted by our human frailty, by some of the things that we're going through. But folks, this is meant to be the best time of our lives. Service to the Lord and seeing things only that which is done for Jesus will last. Now is our chance to do things that will have eternal consequences. Father, thank you for your love and your watch care over us. Thank you, Lord, that you know we've spent our lifetimes raising families, going to school, sending our children to school, working at the job, being promoted in the job, climbing that corporate ladder. All these things occupied all of our energies and all of our attentions. And it seems that we didn't seem to have as much time for you at the end of the day. Oh. Yeah, the choices that we make. But now, Father, now we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know everything there is to know about us, the good stuff and the bad stuff, and you still love us in spite of the bad stuff. I pray, Father, that we will see this time in our lives as a time when we can make eternal changes in the lives of those around us. But we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.